People often ask, they asked in times past, but they also, especially today, ask, how come there are so many references to devils in the Gospels? And this power of the Lord, the power of His Word, the authority which He had to, as it were, not simply state a point, but to act effectively on it, in this case, casting out devils. And people ask, are there many devils around today? And I say, looking around a little bit, I say there are quite a few, quite active. And how is it that they become active after so many centuries of Christian peace? And the answer is very simple. When the faith goes down, when faith is weakened, especially the public practice of the faith, the power of the devil increases. It can do much more of these fancy things, as it were, for possession, obsession, and so forth. But what we forget so often is that if we are in a state of mortal sin, we are basically under the control of the devil. We cannot escape from that. We may escape from one or another particular fact, make cutting a deal, if you wish. In ancient times, as it were, we account for the presence of so many devils precisely because there was no faith in Jesus, in the promises that were made, as it were, from the time of Adam and Eve. So the first thing we want to recognize is that God alone is our Savior. And He sent His dearly begotten Son, precisely, among other things, to free us from the slavery to Satan, to free us from the state of mortal sin. With that, we can immediately recognize how precious is this stupendous gift of the sacrament of penance, of confession, of reconciliation with the church, because it places in a genuine state of freedom. To be able to do as one pleases, the devil will permit, but to do as one pleases is not going to lead to happiness. Only a Savior can save us. Only He can teach us effectively how to remain in the state of grace. Because when we are united to Him, no matter how much the devil may try to interfere, he cannot conquer us. Impossible, because our Lord has won war on the cross. That's the first consideration we want to keep in mind, why those who were in the synagogue in Capernaum on this occasion were so amazed that on the spur of the moment, when the devil in this poor man who was not speaking spoke out and ridiculed our Lord and cursed him, our Lord simply said, come on out. And he apparently was trying to kill the man by throwing him down on the cold, hard floor of the synagogue. And instead, he was perfectly unharmed, and the devil was gone. The second point we want to remember is the wonderful gift that our Lord gave us on the occasion of his imminent death on the cross, His mother as our mother, the one who was foretold by Moses in the book of Genesis. This is the woman who will crush the head of the devil. He will wait for her heel, and he will catch it a second time. He is the one human person that the devil, she is the one human person the devil is mortally afraid of and will never intervene. The closer we are to Our Lady, the more genuine our love for her and are willing to imitate her example, especially in relation to the title she gave herself, Behold the Handmaid of the Lord, the one who seeks always to do what is pleasing to Jesus. If we love Jesus as she does, we will be free of the control of the devil, of the prince of this world. And we will always be ready, no matter when it comes or in what circumstances, for the joys of heaven. Dear brothers and sisters, as we prepare to continue the sacrifice of the Holy Mass and receive communion, let us remember to thank Our Lady for all that she does for us, most of which we don't even realize is coming to be. To seek, as it were, to communicate the good news of salvation, of redemption to others, that they may come to know Jesus, serve Him better and more faithfully, and always be ready for heaven. For your penance, praise be Jesus and Mary.